All right. So if you weren't here before, the last 2 weeks, or in general, we've been talking about Proverbs. We're in a long series about Proverbs. The last 2 weeks we started got kicked off. We talked about a general description of wisdom last 2 weeks. So I said that from here on out now, and the rest of our time with Proverbs, we'll be talking about different areas, specific areas of life, and seeing how wisdom can be applied to it. Okay, so as I said in the prayer, today will all be about words, but how wise people use their words. Next week will be about how the unwise or how foolish people use their words. Okay, and there's a lot that could be said about words, couldn't there be? Words can either be a tremendous blessing or they can be very damaging. I think we all know that. And I'll be very open with all of you. The words that I choose are sometimes they're the weakest area of my life. Okay, if my parents were still here this weekend, they were here last weekend, but if they were still here today, they could tell you many memories of that they had of when I was younger, when I had no filter for my mouth. I would say that I did not start filtering my words until about college, that age. So it took me a long time. And before that, I said just about anything that would come to my mind. And I'll tell you a little story of just my lack of filter and how words are important. Okay, so in preschool and elementary school, my dad had a boss in the hospital where he worked. That man has since passed on. But my dad did not particularly like this boss. All that I know is that he was very harsh in how he spoke to people, how he treated those under him. So sometimes my dad, and I'm sure all of us as parents have done this, we would just say things around our kids. And in this case, it was my dad talking about his boss. And so I was around 4 or 5 at the time. And if you've ever been around a child that age, you know that they don't forget things. So one day, my parents and I don't think my sister was around. We went into the hospital for my dad to get something. I don't remember what it was for exactly, but I do remember meeting my dad's boss. So, yeah. So his boss said hi to me, and I proceeded to tell him whatever it was that my dad had said about him in the house. And this was the only time my dad had ever done this. He ran over to me and he put his hand over my mouth. And I remember him being very angry after that. I don't remember what he said, thankfully. But I do remember my dad sending my mom and I back to the car. I guess he had had enough of me for that morning. And I just remember my mom saying, "Andy, why did you say that in front of Dr. So and so?" Thankfully, nothing happened as a result to my dad. But my point is, you have to be careful of what you say and who you say it to. Although that was a funny story. But, I have tons of other stories of foolish things I've said over the years. But, and you guys will have the privilege of hearing all those things in the years to come. But with that being said, it is rare to find a person who has, you could say, more or less mastered the art of godly speech. In the book of James, James says that it's impossible to tame the tongue. So I can think of very few people that I've met that you could say, they just seem to have it together when it comes to the words they use. I know that, like I've been saying, I'm nowhere near to getting it right when it comes to the tongue. Mastering our words is a very valuable skill, and I think we would all agree. I think we all know the importance of words. So before we get into the verses that we will in Proverbs, I just want to go over three brief ways in which we see the importance of words. Okay, there are three brief ways. The first reasons, and it's up here on the screen. The first reason words are important is because they show what's going on the inside of us. They show what's going on the inside of us. Jesus says in Matthew 12:34 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So our words reveal what's going on in our heart. If you've got a lot of nasty things going on inside, then your words are also going to be nasty. On the other hand, if God has a hold on you, you're progressively conforming yourself to His word. Then your words will be, they should be noticeably different. Our words reflect our soul's condition. Don't fool yourself by thinking you're a good and decent person when your words are filthy, full of hate, slander, and so on. Okay. Secondly, our words are important in that they lead to either blessing or cursing. Proverbs 18:21 says this, says that the power of life and death are in the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's a big deal. Our words matter. When it says life or death, it means that our words can either gain us favor, they can lead us into favorable situations, favorable relationships, they can lead us to bring healing to others, or they can lead us or others unto destruction. They can lead us to destroy others. They can lead us to hurt ourselves or other people. Our words can get us into a lot of trouble. And then what is up? What does the rest of the verse mean when it says those who love it will eat its fruit? This could go either way. There are some who love giving life through their words, and they will reap the blessing of doing that. They will be blessed with, this is generally speaking, good relationships. They will be blessed by people looking well upon them. And then on the other hand, there are others. They love hurting others with their words or themselves. And they will likewise reap the consequences of their misuse of words. I'm sure we all know somebody who gets themselves into trouble with their mouths. Okay, thirdly, words are important because we will be judged by them. We will be judged or rewarded by them. Matthew 12:36-37 says this clearly. Jesus says that everyone will give an account of every empty word that they've spoken. And he also goes on to say that by your words, by our words, we will be acquitted, and by our words, we will be condemned. But why? How can we be judged by our words? Because again, how you talk reflects what's on the inside of you. If God has changed you, if he has transformed you, then your words will reflect that. An internal transformation should show itself externally. If you go around talking all these horrible things, don't think you'll get away free. Okay, on the other hand, when we do speak what is good and righteous, God also notices that as well. So that was just a brief, three brief ways in which our words matter. So let's now go into three observations regarding how a wise person uses their words. Okay, these points are, like I said, Proverbs, by its nature, is topical. So these are a synthesis of different verses and what they say regarding how we can use our words wisely. Okay, so first off, wise guard. All right, good. So first off, the wise person guards their words. The wise person guards their words. So let me read some verses that, oh my goodness, look at Christine. She's so good. She put them up there already. So I can read them. I don't even have to flip through the Bible. But we'll read through some verses that go through this point. So Proverbs 10:19, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. 13:3, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. And 15:28, the heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. And then Proverbs, the last one I have for today, there's other verses, but I just chose four of these. 17:27-28, the one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even tempered. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues. So let's just talk briefly about these few verses. Notice in 10:19, it says that the wise hold their tongues. What this means is that a wise person does not speak whatever comes to mind. Okay, a wise person carefully chooses their words. 13:3 says that guarding one's words preserves one's life. We tend to stay out of trouble when we watch what we say. I especially like 15:28, a wise person weighs their answers. Okay, this reminded me, if you ever go to a market or deli, right, you ask for a pound of cheese or half a pound of turkey, the person selling it, they use a scale, right? And sometimes they have to add a little more to get to that pound or take away a little to get down to the quantity desired. The wise person, they sort of do something similar. They sift through their words to think of what they say. Of what to say. They add something here, take away a little bit there, right? They think before they speak. This is not easy by any means, is it? You know, who knows how many thoughts we have in a day? We can't express them all, nor should we express all of our thoughts. Okay, there's a phrase I heard once, it says, not all truths are meant to be told. I don't know if anybody's heard of that. In other words, there's a time and place for certain things to be said. Just because you're thinking it doesn't mean you have to say it. Okay, a wise person guards their words. They look for the correct moment and the correct tone to use their words. Especially telling is 17 to 27, that's up there right now. Even a fool is considered wise when they restrain their words. That's an easy solution. All you have to do is shut your mouth and all of a sudden you're wise. It's an easy one, right? Just close your mouth a little bit more and you'll be a little bit wiser. Right, so I guess the question is, what does all this look like? How does one guard their words? This is something that I've had to learn over time. Like I've been explaining, I'm still learning how to do it, as we all are. But what I can do is, I guess, share with you how I have improved over time. That's the only point of reference I have, is myself. Again, I'm not saying that I'm even close to mastering my words, but I've definitely seen an improvement since becoming a Christian. First, you need to recognize your need to guard your words. You need to recognize your need. I've met some people, maybe some of you have met other people like this, they're actually proud to not have a filter. They're proud to not have a filter. I've met people who sort of have this attitude that they're going to say whatever they're going to say, and they don't care if someone thinks otherwise. I've met people like that, and that's not what we're looking for. We're not looking for that. What others think of our words does matter to an extent. Okay, as for me, my mouth has gotten me into big trouble many times. So even back in college, when I became a Christian, I realized my need to choose my words better, to guard my words. Secondly, you need to ask God for help. This is obvious and super simple, but have you actually asked God for help to guard your words, to choose better the words you will use? I used to ask God all the time to help me with my words because I realized there was a problem. Almost every day, say, God, help me with my words. And I would go over these verses, actually. These verses for me go way back, like 10 years ago. I would just think about these verses all the time because my mouth was such a big problem. And I'm convinced God is the only reason that I've been able to improve my words. James says, you have not because you ask not. If you struggle with your words, ask God for help. Super simple. Third, you need to be filled with Him. With Him, again, because our words reflect our heart's condition. If you're not spending time with God, of course you're not going to guard your words. Of course you're not going to be careful with your words, right? Of course you're going to say foolish things. Like I'm saying, God is the only reason I've improved at all with my words. If you're filling yourself up with Him, with His presence, then your words will likewise reflect that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Matthew 12:34. I guarantee you, you spend more time with God, you fill yourself up with God, your use of words and how you use them will improve. Okay, and lastly, think before you speak. Think before you speak. I'm telling you guys, I used to never think before opening my mouth. I still sometimes don't think, but by and large, I think that's a song or something. But by and large, I tend to run through possible options of what I can say. Not all the time, you know, and sometimes even when I do think, the words come out wrong, I use the wrong tone, or the other person interprets it wrongly. But, you know, mastering your words is difficult. I think you'd all agree with me on that. So I'll give you a real example of an improvement I've seen in my speech. Regarding guarding my words. Before I came to know Jesus, and again, I'm just going to be completely open today. Before coming to know Jesus, I used to love making sexual jokes, okay? Especially in high school. I wasn't popular. I had trouble making friends. So what I would do is make a lot of jokes about different body parts because it's really easy to make a high schooler laugh if you use any type of sexual reference, okay? I'm just being honest. Professional comedians do this all the time. They talk all the time about sexual things because people laugh. But anyway, I went to college. I got saved. And I still had the habit of making sexual remarks and jokes. So I remember one time I was in a campus ministry. We were talking about something and I decided to make another sexual joke. Okay, this time, though, thankfully, the kids around me were Christians. So when I said what I said, everybody sort of looked around awkwardly. They got real silent, and I got the point. And a thought came to me in that moment. Basically, Andy, you need to stop with the inappropriate comments and jokes. This is not who you are anymore. And I said to myself, man, that thought is from God. I need to be careful with what I say. And since that moment, I haven't really gone back to that, thankfully. All that to say, you know, that God plays a big part, a huge part in shaping our words. Our words do matter, and we should guard them if we're wise. Right? So a question, how well do we here guard our words? Right? Are you more careful now with your words today than you were 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? I hope so. Or maybe some of us have gone backwards. I don't know. But doing life God's way, being wise, involves guarding one's words. So next point, Christine. Yep, thank you. All right. That ties into our next point. Wise people speak what is of value. They speak what is valuable. That means that they don't need all the fluff or junk that other people say. We hear a lot of speech, don't we? That's just junk, garbage, okay? So we have a few more verses there. Proverbs 10, 20 to 21. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many. Fools die for lack of sense. Then 10:31, from the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. And then 12:14, from the fruit of their lips, people are filled with good things, and the work of their hands brings them reward. Then Proverbs 15:2, the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Again, we're just talking about how wise people use their words. So in 10:20, again, talking briefly about these verses, 10:20 to 21, notice the wise person's words are like silver. Simply implies that a wise person speaks what has value, things that really matter. 10:31, wise people speak wise things. Don't have to say too much about that. 12:14, says that those who use their words are filled with good things. We'll talk about this next week, but the fool gets themselves into trouble with their mouths. Not so the wise. Not so the wise. They tend to bring good things upon themselves, favor upon themselves, because of how they use their words. They use their words intelligently. And then 15:2, the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge. When a wise person talks, they spill out knowledge. They don't talk nonsense, or like I just said, they don't speak junk. Okay? But I guess we have to define, don't we, what is valuable in terms of speech. What does Proverbs mean when it says that a wise person's words are like silver, that they adorn knowledge? How do you know if you are speaking what is valuable? Typically, and what Proverbs concerns itself most with, is value in terms of talking about God and his ways. Okay? Talking about God is really the most important thing we can talk about. I'm going to try and be careful here, okay? But I bring this up because I've been in churches where there's a lot of churchy talk, but not much talk about God. I don't know if you guys know what I mean, okay? And I'll explain myself. It's one thing to talk about a children's program, the music on Sunday, some ladies or men's group activity, but it's another thing to involve God in that discussion. It's almost like what I've seen, I'm not saying here, but in past churches, certainly, there's a way in which we can talk about church and its activities and separate it from God. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Has anybody ever seen that? Yes, some yeses. All right. When I'm here, my point is, when I'm here, when I'm with Christians, I want to hear about God. I want to talk about God and what he's done, right? Every activity we do here should revolve around what God wants for it. Let's not separate the two things, okay? One thing and another thing that I've noticed that's a big difference between here and other countries, at least amongst Christians, and this is from time spent with other Christians of other countries, is that Christians in other places, what I've noticed, is they tend to talk about God more frequently than do American Christians. I think it's something we could learn from. And I'll give you an example. And these are just small things. In the Dominican Republic, you know Pamela's from there. When you see another Christian, what do you say? You say, God bless you. Right? When you leave, you might say the same thing again. right? When you're talking about future plans, they'll add in there, if God wills it. Okay, I'll see you next Tuesday if God wills it. I think that we as Americans maybe have lost that a bit. I don't know if you agree with me, but it's something I think we could learn from other Christians of other countries. We should be talking about God more frequently. Okay, our society, they want us to shut up about God. We know that. They want us to not talk about God, but our speech should not reflect that. Should be talking about him more, right? They want us to shut up, so I'm going to talk about God more, okay? If God matters more to us than anything else, we should be talking about him, right? That's primarily what gives our speech value. So I challenge you to that. I challenge you to that, right? If you're saying goodbye to somebody, just say God bless you. Something simple, something easy. Start a conversation with someone about God, right? These are just little ways to speak what is of value. Right, but so talking about God in the correct way is valuable, but Proverbs also mentions other forms of speech that are just as valuable. Right, there are verses about honesty, about the foolishness of gossip or slander, about generosity, encouragement, and so on. Those are all things also that are valuable, that are of value. I don't want you to think that anything that doesn't mention God isn't valuable. I'm not saying that. Okay, but. When you speak honest words, when you speak words of encouragement, even when you correct another person, if done in love, those are words that have value. You can't put a price tag on those things. Okay? Even neutral subjects like sports, hunting, I've been talking about that too much lately, exercise, music, or if you're some of the ladies I know, decorations, holiday shopping, clothes, your hair. Right. These are things that can have value if spoken about for a purpose. Right? Does this make sense? I can talk about these neutral subjects, right, if for the purpose of building friendship with somebody. That's valuable. But keep in mind also that it's possible to talk about these subjects in a way that takes away from God. Right? That is not valuable. I shouldn't be obsessing over my house decoration so much that I don't have time to do anything else. You know, I'm getting my house ready for Thanksgiving or Christmas. That should not be your primary obsession or focus. But I shouldn't be obsessing over sports so much that I no longer have time to do anything else. My point is that, you know, we're on earth for a mission, aren't we? We're on earth for a mission. Our actions, our thoughts, and yes, even our words, our conversations should be aligned with that mission of honoring God during our time on earth, right? There was a lady at the last church we came from in Pennsylvania. She really embodied this point of just speaking what is valuable. Everybody else would be complaining if we were talking together or saying how depressing their life is. And this lady would just light up the whole room. She was always saying something positive. She was always thankful to God for something. And there are a few of us here like that in this congregation. You know, but going back to this lady, I can't think of a single time she said something nasty or negative. And this lady was really a joy to be around because she always spoke what had value, what had meaning. I knew that any time we were around her, she was going to say something worthwhile. You know, are we like that? Can we be more like that? Can we get to that point, Westoniana? Do we speak what is of value? Right. So then lastly, a wise person's words bring healing. A wise person's words bring healing. Very important. So then three more verses. There they are. All right, man, Christina's on top of it. All right. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Proverbs 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. 15:4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. And then last one I had, I already mentioned this one. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So 10:11, just look at how the mouth of the wise is described. A fountain of life. A place where people can come to get life. What a wonderful thing. Imagine if our words could be described as such. Then 12:18, the tongue of the wise brings healing. Gives the image of binding up wounds, taking care of others. 15:4, our words should be like a tree of life. All these verses support the idea that our words should be life-giving, not life-taking, not life-sucking, right? Have you ever been around a person that sucks the life out of you? Raise your hand if you've ever been around a person like that.
Yeah,
sure, we all have. Let's not be like that. Let's not be a life-sucking person, if I can put it like that. Right? Life-giving. Let's be life-giving. A person, you know, a person who uses their words in a life-giving way is usually a joy to be around. We should be like that. And now I'm going to speak very practically, thinking about today's world. I'm sort of going off a little bit, but a healing tongue is especially important in our time. Especially important in our time. We so often see people cutting down one another for different reasons. You see it online, you see it on the news, you see it even in personal conversations. You ever go onto Facebook or YouTube, you tend to see shocking comments made by some people, don't you? The internet has been good in many ways over the past 20 years or so, but it also can be used by people who would otherwise hide their thoughts. Right, writing spiteful comments online is a lot easier sitting in front of a computer screen than it is saying something to someone directly. In many ways, the internet has just revealed the ugliness of some people. Just recently on a website page for a nearby town, I'm not going to say where, but there was a picture put up of somebody who had committed crimes. I'm not excusing crimes, okay, and what this person did was awful, but the comments made against him were equally awful, things I will not say. People doing nasty, awful things does not give us the right to speak nasty, awful things. But in an age of criticism and negativity, wouldn't it be great if Christians were known for having healing words? Wouldn't it be great? We should not only be speaking words of healing to one another, but also to those outside the church. And those who are struggling in the church, right? I feel that using words of life or healing are particularly applicable to these groups of people. I've been around people, Christians, who tend to look down on unbelievers, even though we were all there at one point. We were all there at one point. We can't look down on unbelievers. I've known people, talking about those who are struggling in the church, I've known people who have been ejected from a church for struggling against sins. I'm not talking about accepting their sin. I'm talking about those who struggle against them, right? I mean, it's no wonder that some people never confess their sins and hide things because some people aren't even allowed to fight against sin with help. And I'm sure some of us struggled or still do struggle with some pretty ugly things, okay? People who struggle against something should be welcomed here. The whole Christian life is about struggling against sin. And I know that all of us here struggle with different sins. No one's exempt from that. I want you to know now that, I've only been here 2 months or so, whatever, but I'm not somebody who turns away people for their struggles. Where we run into problems is when we no longer fight. Where we run into problems, we no longer fight against sin, but we celebrate it, promote it, or excuse it. Okay, that's different. However, accepting or excusing a sin and struggling against it are two very different things. Would you agree? Would you agree? Okay. All of us who are struggling, fighting sin, we need to hear words of healing. We need it. Doesn't mean we accept sin. I'm not saying that. But we should not be driving out people who need healing due to different struggles in their fight against sin. Also, likewise, let's not talk about people and their struggles behind their backs. Okay, it's not helpful. I hope this makes sense to everybody. I don't want someone to misinterpret me by saying, now Pastor Andy says we accept everything here. I'm not saying that. Okay, we don't accept what God clearly forbids. But we do accept people who are looking for a place for help in their fight against sin. Let me repeat that. We do accept people who are looking for a place for help in their fight against sin. We should offer such people words of healing, words of life. Does everyone understand me? Did I say we accept everything here? No. Okay. Right? I don't bring this up because I've heard some rumor or something like that. I just brought it up because it's very relevant. Okay. And I've seen it in the past. We should be using words of healing for every group of people. Okay. I'll give you a great example. Great example in my life, okay, of helping those who need words of healing, right? Some of you know that I spent a lot of time in Haiti. I knew a guy in Haiti who was, I think he was a teenager at the time. He was like 18 or 19. He admitted to me that he was struggling with homosexual thoughts, right? He did not want to tell anyone at his church because he was afraid they would kick him out, even for struggling with it. And another guy was kicked out for the same struggle. And I mean, when he told me this, he was really upset, really broken over this fight that he was having. And I'm paraphrasing what I told him, but I told him not to give up in the fight. I told him that God would help him and other such things. Okay. I left Haiti, came back 6 months later. I saw him again. I asked him how he was doing. And he surprised me in a bad way with his answer. He told me that he had been going to gay clubs, that he was going to get a boyfriend. But he also said that he wanted God. I told him, I was honest. I said, you cannot have God and a boyfriend. It's one or the other. Okay. Long story short, he got angry with me, said he never wanted to speak to me again. 3 days later, he said he did want to speak to me again. And he surprised me in a good way that time. He said that I was right. He told me that the Bible does forbid homosexuality and that he decided he would stop going to gay clubs and he would not get a boyfriend. And he followed up on what he told me. He actually left that lifestyle. But this story illustrates what it looks like when we speak words of life unto others. It shows what can happen when, in God's wisdom, we use our words to heal others. Right? In this case, I had to use comforting words in the beginning with this first confession of struggling with this. Then later I had to tell him some hard things, which also are words of healing. In this case, because he decided not to listen. Okay, but in the end, what happened? He ended up forsaking a sinful lifestyle. Now imagine if I had gone to one extreme or the other, right, in my response to his confession of sin. Imagine if I had insulted him. Imagine if I had pushed him away in his telling me he was struggling with this. Imagine if I went around talking about him behind his back with his struggle. Or on the other hand, equally unbiblical, imagine if I told him that it was okay to do to indulge in his temptations, right? Either extreme would have resulted in a lost cause, because neither would have represented a proper use of words. If we want to be wise and follow in God's path, we need to use our words for the benefit of others, whether in the church, outside the church, or those in the church struggling. Okay, how are our words this morning? How are our words? Are we speaking words of healing? Or maybe not so much. Do we need to work on it? Right. That's basically what I have. But as a recap, you know, we talked about how the wise use their words. Wise people guard their words. They choose carefully what they're going to say. They speak what is of value, and their words bring healing. Okay. So.